Yeah, it's days on calendars. We had Mother's Day not that long ago, and it's Father's Day today, and we have opportunities to remember. Sometimes those memories can be painful. Some of us, those experiences weren't good, or situations weren't the best they could be. But we still remember, and especially as Christians, you know, we're taught to honor our mothers and fathers, regardless of circumstance, regardless of situation. We're to honor them, and you have to sometimes seek the Lord in the best way to do that. How can I honor my father, my mom? If you know, especially in situations, like I said, where there may be some pain. But we're here to pray for one another and help one another. And you know, the Bible tells parents and dads in general, you know, about raising their children. Ephesians tells us that don't exasperate your children. You know, don't get to that point, but raise them, you know, up in the right way of the Lord. You know, and train them up. You know, do the things that are right. Proverbs tells us so many times about, you know, opportunities to raise children. But none of that would be possible for us as men if we didn't know that we had a Heavenly Father. And I have a pretty good memory, and but as you get a little older, it's not as good as it was. So I'm saying, what did we speak about last year? So I was pretty sure I was right, and I ended up having to be right. But I look back at my notes, and I said, yeah, that's what I thought we spoke about last year. We talked about the Lord's Prayer. And as I was just meditating on that and just praying, Lord, what would you have us to share? What would you have us to hear today? It's just funny, but it just kind of came to me, who's your daddy? Now, you've heard that expression, who's your daddy? And it's not always in the best way that it's in there, you know, but who's your daddy? Who is your daddy? Now when we come to that thought, or we think about that, who, you know, we all came from somewhere and someone, right? True? Okay, we didn't just kind of pop in, right? We came from somewhere. We all have an origin. We have an origin story. You know, now, there's a big scale to that and a small scale to that, and when we think about that, it makes a difference about how we conduct ourselves, how we live in life, based upon our origins or what we believe our origins are. And you say, what do you mean by that? Well, let's look at like just three. You know, what if there is within your belief system, you are convinced that you came from as a product of evolution, and you're here by chance, and it was just some primordial soup that one day was popped out a thing, and that thing morphed into this, then changed to that, and changed, and then all of a sudden it began to walk and have, you know, hands and eyes, and then it became a man. And you say, well, I'm here by accident. I'm here by chance. I started out as some lifeless ooze somewhere, and I became a person. Well, you're going to live your life according to that. That life is going to be just random and chance and maybe not have any real purpose or meaning, or maybe there's no life after what this organic matter, when it goes back into the ground, and maybe in a million, billion, bazillion years it will evolve into something else, but I won't be part of it. That's how you'll live your life. That'll be your worldview. But if you believe that you were created by a creator, then you realize that you came from somewhere because of someone intentionally forming you and making you. And if we believe what the Bible teaches about that, we were formed and created by God in His image, in His likeness, and we all find our genealogy and our DNA going all the way back to Adam, right? That's what probably everybody in here's worldview was. It maybe hasn't always been that, but that would be your worldview. And where do I come from? Well, I come from, you know, there's been over the last decade or so, a lot of money being made by places like Ancestry.com and all those things. And I actually purchased that once for Meg. I think I told you guys that it's been back a while ago, Christmas of the now. She knew growing up her mom's side was Italian, and her father's side was Irish and German, and she was basically only knew her mom's side of the family. So when I met her, you know, she only really knew the Italian side of her family, and she never knew much about her dad's side. And it always was like a little bit of a hole there. There were some questions and some things. And one day, for Christmas, I purchased it for her, and at first she looked at it kind of weird, like it's kind of a strange gift, and she started to go on it, and it just opened up areas of her life that she never knew. She was able to track her father's side back in, not only, into the United States, back into like the 1700s and all this kind of stuff, and she answered questions about an aunt that she had heard about, never knew. She was able to trace her down and where she left and all these kind of things. But it's interesting that you find out things about yourself that you never knew existed. And it actually did change a little bit about her thought about who she is and where she kind of came from. But we all came from somewhere, and I want to set aside the evolution for the rest of this message, because I don't know if anybody here still holds on to that, or there may be something of theistic evolution, which I don't even want to get into. But I'm going to say that we all believe, and I'm going to maybe be so bold as to say to you, if you don't, you should believe that we all been created by God. And we find our genealogy all the way back, regardless of all the different paths it took, back to one Adam. And if that's the case, then we came from the same biological father. And because of that, we have within us his DNA. And we know that spiritually, that means that we are born into sin, because our original father created perfect and innocent, sinned. And he brought sin and death into this world. And the Bible is very clear that all who descended from Adam have sin, a sin DNA. And physical genealogy is important. If we believe that we are descendants of Adam, then we must believe that we have his DNA not only physically but spiritually within us, and that we are now sinners. We inherited his sin nature. Romans 5:12, many as you know, says, therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, that's Adam, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned in Adam. That now should be our worldview. We are sinners. Even though we all committed sin, we have to realize we were born into it. It's our nature, a sin nature, as we talk about. 1 Corinthians 15:45, thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, because he was created by God. The last Adam, which we know is Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. Our origin matters. Our origin, what we believe about our origin, matters about how we view ourselves and the world in which we live. But as much as we can talk about and go over our physical genealogy and where it goes back to and the results of that, as you see, not only do we have Adam's physical DNA that God put in him that came back to all of us, but as we already mentioned, we have that spiritual DNA, meaning that we're all sin, that it becomes really important then for us to think about, well, spiritually, where do we come from? And spiritually, who are we? And spiritually, who is our Father? And you may think that's an easy question to answer, because people will say, if you poll most people who have any type of belief in God at all, and by the way, when we use God in the generic terms, all the different surveys and all tell us that a vast majority of people in this world, like in the 90%, believe in God, or a God, generically God, some type of being. So if you ask those people about God and you say to them, well, where did we come from? They will say to you something to the fact that, well, we came from God and we're all, and you've heard this, we're all God's children. But is that true? Is that true? The Bible tells us that's not true. It's very clear from the Bible that we're all the creation of God, John chapter 1. We're all created by God. We're created in the image of God. But because we're created in his image does not automatically make us his children. It says in that same chapter that we have the potential, the opportunity to become the children of God. So the question is, who's our daddy? Spiritually, who is it? Now, Jesus addressed this question. was talking to the Jewish leaders of the day and the crowds, and they were going back and forth in John chapter 8. And it's one of the more fascinating chapters that I just kind of like really get into this chapter so much. And I don't have the time to, you know, break it all down and get into it all today. But he says to them, eventually in verse 38, he says, I speak, this is John 8, starting at verse 38, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. Now remember, this is the man, Christ Jesus, who's fully God, but fully man, and he always refers to his heavenly Father as Father, you know. He says, I've seen with my Father that you do that which you have seen with your Father. So he's getting to this idea of paternity, of origins, of who's their daddies, you know. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Now Jesus counters and says, okay, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. So in other words, Abraham didn't act this way. He says, verse 41, ye do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. And that was a little bit of a shot at Jesus because of this idea of who his earthly father was. You know, this whole idea of, you know, Mary was, you know, as they were betrothed, she was found pregnant. Well, who's his real daddy? Is it Joseph? Is it some other person? Is it this? That? And there was these stories about him. They said, well, you may not know who your daddy is, but we know who our daddy is, you know? We're not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words. And he's going to explain what that means. He points right and says these words pointedly to them. You know, he doesn't, you know, necessarily point with his finger, but he says to them pointedly. He said to them, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. He said, you guys don't even believe me. Because you can't even understand what I'm saying, because your father is not Abraham, it's the devil. See, these leaders, the Jewish leaders at that time, they believed that the relationship with Abraham in genealogy, you know, speaking from the physical genealogy, they were correct. They went back and descended through Abraham. They knew that. But they believed that relationship, that they were descendants of Abraham, set them free from any type of error, set them free from any type of, you know, sin, anything that, you know, and made them automatically children of God. That was their mindset. We come from Abraham, and Abraham was a friend of God, so automatically we, regardless of anything else, are now the children of God. But Jesus says, no, you need to take a paternity test. And that's what he's given them here. He says, you need a paternity test to find out who your daddy really is. He says, if you were Abraham's children, then you would do what Abraham did. He says, but you're looking to kill me. A man who's just told you the truth. Abraham didn't do anything like this. He says, you're doing the works of your father. Jesus affirmed what we know the Bible teaches, that the things that come from within us are truly who we really are, our inner nature. You know, we may put on a show in the front, but it comes from inside. What's really inside shows who we really are, the way we live, the way we act. Proves our true paternity. If Abraham is our father, genealogically speaking or spiritually speaking, then we will share his character. We would be like Abraham, Jesus is saying. We would believe God and we would obey his truth. The Bible says about Abraham, he believed God when God gave him the promise, and it was accounted to him for righteousness just because he believed God. He took God at his word. He said, if you're like Abraham, you're going to believe God. Abraham was known as a friend of God. He loved God. He listened to God. He obeyed God, not always perfectly, but it was his mindset that I want to follow God. I want to obey God. I want to do what's right. And he followed God and obeyed God. Even the Bible shows us when he didn't even understand it, even when he told God told him to take his only son, the son of the promise, and to offer him as a sacrifice, he still obeyed, even when it made no sense. His obedience, Abraham's obedience, proved his character as God's child. The Jewish leaders were not like that. They weren't like Abraham. The rebellion, it confirmed what Jesus knew, and they were going to hopefully discover for themselves, though I don't think many discovered that, that they were the children of the devil, spiritually speaking. They were the children of a rebel. They were children of a liar. They were children of a murderer. He says, you are of your father, the devil. You behave like your father. You behave like the devil. He says, if God's were your father, you would love me because I came from God. See, the devil, unlike Abraham, he opposes God, God's presence, God's purposes, all of God's desires and what God wants to do. He opposes those things. See, the true children of God love Jesus, but the devil hates Jesus, hates him and what he came to do. Satan is a murderer. The Jewish leaders already had a plot to kill Jesus. They were just looking for the opportune time to do it. And those actions, among many other things, proved that they were of their father, the devil. Jesus said the Jewish leaders couldn't understand his words. He says, I'm speaking, but you can't even understand the words that are coming out of my mouth. I mean, you and I have all been in that situation. Somebody talks and you're like, and you know they're speaking the same language you speak, but you're like, I have no idea what you're saying. I can't follow you. This was not just because of a linguistic problem. And this was a problem because they were of their father, the devil, and the only thing they could understand was the lies, and Jesus was telling the truth. He says, you can't receive it. I'm not going to do Jack Nicholson and say, you can't handle the truth. No, but they couldn't understand the truth. They couldn't receive the truth. They couldn't. But see, if we are of God's children, we crave the truth. We want the truth. When we hear the truth, it speaks words of life to us, words of hope, words of peace, words of joy. We desire truth in every aspect. See, the devil brought physical and spiritual death to humankind. How? By telling them a lie. That's right out of the gate, right? Genesis, right? From the beginning. Told them a lie. Brought death to the world, eternal death to the world. He's still distorting truth. You know, I maintain today that truth, you know, is of such short supply today that no matter what we hear and what we read, I don't even know anymore what things are true. It's so hard to tell what is true. The only thing I know for certain is true is this word. This is the only thing, and this has got to be our anchor, church, I'm telling you, because we hear so much stuff, and it's packaged in so many different ways, and anymore, it's almost impossible to determine what is real anymore and true. But we can hold on to the Word of God because it is absolutely true, and we need to resist the lies, no matter how they come across, by being immersed and living in and hearing and doing the Word of God. See, the Bible says that obedience, love, truthfulness are the marks of a true child of God. Now, humanly speaking, you and I cannot change our paternity. We are who we are. We came from who we came from. We had no choice in the matter. We descended from someone, good or bad. That's who it is. So where does that leave us? As children of Adam, well, we can't change our paternity. We're born sinners. We're born rebels. If we have the sin nature, we're then separated from God, the Bible tells us. It says that sin leads to death. It leads to separation eternally from God. Well, if are we just doomed to follow our spiritual father, then Satan? What do we do? Well, you know the story. Most of you understand this part. I'm going to take just a moment, but I need to say this at this point in the message. You know, Jesus addressed this also. He addressed it with Nicodemus. you know, a good man, a Jewish man, a man who, you know, loved God and was trying to do his best to follow him. And he came to Jesus in John 3 by nighttime. You know the story. Rabbi, we know you're a teacher that comes from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except, you know, they be from God. And Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now Nicodemus says, wait, how can this be? How can a man be born when he's old? How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee that you must be born again. He goes on to say, you know, the wind blows and where it comes from, you don't know, you know, and he says so forth, and he goes down, and Nicodemus says to him in verse 9, he says, how can these things be? Now, Nicodemus wasn't being obstinate. He wasn't not trying to understand this truth that what Jesus was telling about being born again. He just said he just at this moment couldn't receive it. He couldn't comprehend this. So Jesus answers him and says, look, are you a teacher in Israel, a master in Israel, but you don't know these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man ascendeth up to the heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, Nicodemus came to him as he was, a son of Adam, a son of Abraham, a child of sin. Though he was doing his best to be a righteous man, he could not understand the idea that his own righteousness, his own relationship to Abraham, it would not save him. That no matter what he did in trying to keep the law, no matter what he did in trying to be good and to the best he could be, it couldn't save him. And Jesus knew that, but Jesus knew that his heart was yearning to hear the truth. And that's why right at the beginning, as soon as he comes to him and he says, hey, we know you come from God, he goes, you must be born again. He cuts right to the heart of the matter. You cannot, Nicodemus, find what you're looking for, which is your relationship with God, not only here on earth, but eternally in heaven. You cannot find that unless you were born again, unless your paternity changes. That's it. It has to change. So if we can't change our physical genealogy and our paternity where we came from, we need to change our spiritual genealogy. Our spiritual paternity. We have a heavenly Father, a creator who desires us to be his children. And if we come to that place of recognizing that our inability to change our destiny because of our earthly paternity, then we must believe Jesus' words that says to us, you need to have your paternity changed. And if you can't do it physically, then I came to do it for you spiritually. And if you come and repent of your sin, and you believe that I was lifted up on the cross to die for you, that I paid the penalty in full, then you will be born anew, afresh, and your paternity changes from being a son of Adam the sinner, who brought death, to now being a son of God through Jesus Christ, who's brought life into the world, and you have that life also. And then what happens when that takes place? 1 John chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. You know, I have quoted that, taught on it, preached on this so many times, and every time I say it, I'm more and more amazed by the impact of what that verse says. In fact, the writer John, the earthly writer John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, uses a Greek word. And in that word, that behold, it's see, it's really what this is saying. It's saying, you know what? It's almost like a command. It's in the Greek, it's in the imperative. He's telling, look at this. Behold this. Look at this. Stare at it. Wonder about it. Meditate on it. Be amazed by it. And we should be. We should not take for granted, any of us who are now born again in the family of God, we should not take for granted that our paternity was changed to be the son of, you know, of Adam unto death, but now we are the sons of God through Jesus Christ unto life. We should never take that for granted. We should be amazed by what our Father did for us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Man. I almost don't know how you could just sit there. I'm serious. I mean, somebody better be praising the Lord right now. I'm telling you. And you could say it. Come on, praise the Lord. And behold, what manner of love that he would do that for us. To be called the children of God. God's great love. No other reason. He took the initiative to make us his children. Yeah, he created us, but we were rebels. Destined for hell. He says, no, I love you too much. I'm going to make a way for you to become my children. Come into my family. This extravagant outpouring of our Heavenly Father's love is amazing. It made John marvel. And here we go going, oh, yeah, that's nice. No, marvel, wonder, rejoice. We become his children through faith in Christ. You know, but all John chapter 1, but to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. Reborn, born new. Only through the new birth that he provided for us on the cross. You know, I love what he goes on here in saying this. I'm just going to read a little bit more of this chapter here. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we, this is if you were born again, beloved, now we are are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You know, you're going to see your Father face to face one day. One day this tent's going to shed off. One day you're going to have a glorified body and you're going to see your Savior face to face. This is glorious, church. I'm still waiting for hallelujahs, man. I'm going to tell you. I'm trying here. Lord, help us. Man, what amazing thing this is for him to do that for us. And then when they look, and then we're not going to just see him. Verse 3, and everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself just as he, our Father, is pure. So we're going to be changed from the inside out. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him there is no sin. Whoever then abides in him does not sin. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't occasionally stumble. What it means is when we've been changed and we know who our Heavenly Father is, we know that our paternity is changed, and we're not children of Adam anymore. We're children of Jesus. We're children of the Most High God. We're going to say, I want to live like my daddy. I know who my daddy is. I want to live like him. I want to look like him. I want to talk like him. I want to act like him. I want to think like him. And there's no sin when we walk his way. Whoever sins has neither seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. For he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin. Meaning that we no longer have that sin desire in our heart. Yeah, we will still have the lust of the flesh at times. We still have to battle against this body. We, you know, the world, the flesh, and the devil. There's still going to be times that we will stumble, but we're going to want to repent. We're not going to want to live in that. We're not going to walk contrary to our Father's, you know, commands for us, because we've been born of God. Verse 10, and this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. And that's how you could tell the difference. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, and he who does not love his brother. For this is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Say that with me one more time. That we should love one another. It becomes apparent who's our Father when we begin to live differently, when we begin to not love sin anymore. We hate sin. When we begin to hate, that we begin to love one another in a way that, you know, we don't even like everything that one another do, but we have this thing that rises above it, that's love, the love that we have for the brethren. Behold, what manner of love. We're adopted into the family of God. We're newborn creations, the Bible says. The Bible says that all of us who are led by the Spirit of God, we're the children of God. It's Romans 8. Ephesians 1 tells us that God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family. We've been adopted. We were cut off, but he brought us in through Jesus Christ. He wanted to do it. The Bible says it gave him great pleasure to do that. And we need to praise him by living our lives for him. We owe our position as his sons and daughters through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, that he went to that cross in love. The Bible says in love he went to that cross, thinking of us. Our identity as children of God is in and hidden in Christ Jesus. We're no longer orphans. We're no longer slaves, but we're sons and daughters. And our purpose now, our reason for living, our outlook on life, our worldview is now look at it and say, wait a minute, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. Lord, how can I now live in this life to represent you well in this world, to be your child in this world, that others may see the good works that I do and they would glorify you by coming to you and repenting of their sin and being born into your family also. And we can then live to our full potential as best we can in this world as the children of God to be more like Jesus every day. We have security in him. He holds us in the palm of his hands and no one can snatch us out. Our Father is greater than all. He's given us authority to live in this world. Authority over the evil, over the evil one. He's given us authority to honor the family name. He's given us an intimacy. The Bible says, as children of God, do you know that we can cry out, Abba, Father? You know what that word is translated Abba in Aramaic? Daddy. Who's your daddy? Our Father in heaven. Yes, he's the Father of all creation, yet we, because of his love and because of the manner of love which he brought us into his family, we can say, Hi, Dad. Hi, Daddy. That sense of intimacy. You don't call many people daddy. You know, you may have other people that you may for some reason address as a father or father figure, but there's very few people, maybe only one in your whole life you call daddy. We have a God in heaven that we can call daddy. He assures us of who we are as his children. He gives us an inheritance. Do you know that we're going to inherit all the things that Jesus is inheriting? The Bible says they're ours in Romans chapter 8, right? He disciplines us. Because you know what a good father does? Disciplines his children so we don't become spoiled brats. And you know what our job is? To heed that discipline. And to say, Father, thank you for that discipline because it's making me more like you. Because my desire as your child is to be more like you. Because you know what you do when you're part of a family? You start to act like the family. You start to talk like the family. Start to even look like the family. It's scary sometimes. I mean this in a good sense. And it happened a lot actually on our trip this time. Meg and I would say so many things at the same time and have the same observations that we start to laugh at each other. And see, I was just going to say that. You're going to say that. And because you know what? We've been together so long, we start to think alike. We start to talk alike. Well, you know, when you are part of the heavenly family, we're going to start to think like our Father in heaven and talk like our Father in heaven and rejoice. So this morning, we close on this note. Who's your daddy? If you're not sure, you can be sure. The Bible's very clear about that. If you heard this message today and you said, but wait a minute, I don't really love the brethren. I don't necessarily always want to walk in the truth. But there's something within me that knows there's something better than what I have. And if you think you're failing the test of paternity, then you know what? Be honest with that and say, you know what? You know what? Well, look, there's been some problems with the ancestry DNA. When people send out their DNA check, they come back and they go, that wasn't my dad. That wasn't my mom. And they opened up a whole can of worms and things. I got brothers and sisters that are over there and I didn't even know about, you know. Guess what? If you hear these things today and you say, well, I'm not sure of my paternity, you can be sure. Nicodemus came and said, I just want to know more about this truth. I want to know more about who my Father is. I want to know more about, you know, heaven. I want to know more. If you want to know about that and you want to spend eternity not going to hell, not following your earthly genealogical father, you know, and going all the way just by his DNA going into hell, then you need to change that paternity. And if you do so by simply coming and say, Jesus, I heard about you and I heard about me. And I heard of the fact that I can't count on anything physically to save me from eternal hell. There's nothing. My parentage, there's nothing in me. I'm born into sin, and I'm destined to die in my sin. And if I die in my sin, the Bible says no sin abides with you. I'm separated from you eternally. But I don't want that. I heard about this amazing thing that called being born again. And I want to be with you. And I want to turn away from my genealogy, my earthly genealogy. I want to turn away from my spiritual genealogy, which means that right now, if I'm not your child, I'm a child of Satan, and I don't want to be that. I want to come to you just as I am. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it at all. But I heard today, and I've been hearing, that you love me with love that is so amazing, and that your desire is that I be adopted into your family. So I come, just as I am. An orphan, a beggar. But I just come, a sinner. And I'm asking that you would wash my sin away. That you would bring me into your family. That you would help me to be your child. That I may be born again. And Lord, when I receive that forgiveness, I want to be like you. I want to know that I'm yours. I want to know the love of a father that holds me in the palm of his hands and never will let me go. I want to know that I have that intimacy, that I truly have an ability to call you daddy. I want to walk like you. I want to talk like you. I even welcome your discipline because I need it in my life, Lord. And I want to become like you in every area. That's what's open for us today. Behold what manner of love. Behold what manner of love. Father, thank you today for reminding us of where we come from and where we're going uninterrupted. But thank you that you interrupted that process, that flow, the outcome. Lord, your word says it's not your desire that any would perish, but all would come to repentance. Father, you know everyone's heart here today. You know their paternity, spiritually speaking, especially. Today I pray that everyone here would be sure who their father is. That everyone here today would know for a fact that not only you're their creator, but you're their father. So, Lord, I pray right now for those here and those listening in that if anyone has failed the paternity test and they realize that they are still a child of Adam and spiritually a child of Satan, that they would recoil at that and recognize that outcome, and they would turn from that, and they would turn to you, and they would come and repent and receive your forgiveness and be born and adopted into your family. And then, Lord, as they would do that, as others who have already done that, then we would desire today to walk as your children, to live this life as your children, to represent you well in this world, and to take full advantage of our security and the intimacy and the assurance and the disciplines and, Lord God, the opportunity to be part of a family, that we would take it at full measure, Lord God, and that we would never forget the price that was paid for our salvation, for our adoption into your family, and we would behold and wonder and rejoice in the manner of love that you have for us, that we would be called the children of God. In Jesus' name, amen.